Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and we're back with Avnish Bajaj, founder and managing director of Matrix Partners India. Jim Collins once said, great vision without great people is irrelevant. And today's podcast is about the different stages a founder and his or her team go through when building a company. These are not funding stages, but stages or phases an entrepreneur experiences in their journey of going from idea to exit. Avnish, how do you think about this? And if you were to broadly categorize these stages that a founder goes through, what would those be?
Thank you for having me back, Saloni. Great to be back here. So, you know, right from the Bazi days, I have wondered why it is that, is it that one cannot just get the perfect org right up front? And interestingly, I've observed, and it's applied at Bazi, it's applied at Matrix, I'm seeing it in some of our other portfolio companies, that it takes three versions of the org to kind of probably finally settle down into something that is stable and scaling. And if you reflect on it, and look, there are no right or wrong answers. This is as ambiguous a topic as one can have. But I'll tell you my root cause analysis. And my root cause analysis is that, especially in the tech world, especially for companies of the type in which we invest, there are three phases. And I know we are going to have a topic around product market fit and what we measure at what stages. Right. But in reality, there is a 0-1 phase, there is a 1-10 phase, and there is a 10-100 phase. The 0-1 phase is really about finding product market fit, figuring out if it even works. The 1-10 phase, assuming you get through 0-1, is to scale that product market fit. Mm-hmm. And the 10-100 phase is actually, you can call it 100, 1000, whatever you want to call it, is to scale the value of that company, is to scale the business. Now, if you think about it, what is an organization? What is a business? A business does not operate in isolation, to your Jim Collins comment. It does not operate in isolation of people. So it's really people who have to take the company through all these three, I would argue, very different phases. Now, ask yourself, are the traits required at each stage the same? Clearly not. They're very different. The hustle phase, the doer phase, is the phase of finding product market fit. Typically, people who do really well are the people who are hustlers, they're doing stuff. They don't need to. It's not like they can't think, but they don't need to think that much. It's a lot more about hustle. As you move beyond that, the thinking hat needs to come on more. So I would call the doer phase. Then the second 1-10 would be the doer plus thinker, but note that doer is first. And then the third I would call is thinkers with doers, meaning people who can think big, who can think long term, and can think commercial, can think strategic, but they still need people who are doers working with them, for them. Now, interestingly, and we have a chart that you should include mm-hmm. either in this question or the next, the best founders transcend these phases. They go 0-1, they grow up, they may even right from the start know how to be 0-1,000, but most of the time they'll do 0-1, 1-10, and beyond that. And that's what makes them entrepreneurs. That's what makes them different. However, not everybody's like that. And I think where organizations struggle the most is the fact that the founder is making this transition very quickly, but the people with the founder are finding it very hard. And I think that's why it takes a few phases to get it right.
Right. What would you say are some of the levers or the triggers that people can tap into or are required to transition from one stage to another? So capital, of course, would be one of the biggest levers, but in addition to capital.
It's going to sound very tenuous, but I will tell you that it's about mindset. And I know we are going to talk about culture at another time, but I would say recognize, if you were to recognize that an organization is like an organism and that they are going to have life stages like we have life stages, and that they will go through baby and adolescence and maturity and then maybe even decline, hopefully not in an organization. knowing that upfront means that what you would do and anticipate would be different. Example being, how do kids ultimately grow up and go to college? Well, they get a very particular type of training at a certain period of time, right? And so on and so forth, for work and so on and so forth. So the point, therefore, is that one has to recognize that, and it's very hard, but one has to recognize upfront that the organization will have to evolve to get the right match between the stage of your organization, because it's almost not, imagine the pace at which some of these companies grow. It's not very obvious in that moment. If I were to tell you, is it 0 to 1, 1 to 10, is it number 6 or 7? We don't know. And I think the best thing a founder can do is to recognize that this is going to happen. Almost design their organization and their culture for that to happen. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the next statement, next question. But if I were to recognize that this is going to happen, I will tell the people who are working with me in the first phase that, hey, you know what? There may be other people we'll need down the road. But now this comes back to the culture. Do the people who have gotten you from point A to point B, do you make sure that you train them, you retrain them, you invest in them to see if they can take you to the next phase, or you potentially put them in a different role? I think that's the tricky part. But I think if I had to give one takeaway, it is be aware that this is coming. And therefore, plan in advance. And otherwise, what you can see is a lot of churn can happen. You know, you have people who feel that they have done, gotten the organization to a certain place, and then suddenly you have a layer of people coming in. They may be from the outside. They may have a different experience set. Mm-hmm. And that generally results in, I would say, most organizations struggling to transition between these phases.
Right. So obviously bringing in a specialist at each stage is key for the company to grow. But how, like you said, how do you balance that out with bringing in the right people, the experts, but at the same time maintaining your firm's attrition rate or churn?
So it's very challenging. And I think if I had to give a one word answer, it's about culture. It's about the kind of culture you build. And like I said, we can try to cover that in another topic. But look, people, I think, appreciate if you are extremely transparent with them. Nobody, I think most people are not delusional. And they would say, okay, first of all, we have this concept of radical candor we have discussed before, which is about, do you care about the person? Do you care about that person's career? And are you transparent with them all along the way of where they stand? And I think what some organizations do well, others don't do as well, is to recognize that there is always, if you think of an org chart as boxes, and obviously people are the people in the org, there's probably always a box. In most organizations, there's always a box for a person. But their current box may not be their box, right? So if somebody is unable to make the transition, can you put them in a role in which they will excel? In most organizations, once they get to a certain stage, they are also launching new businesses, doing other things. If this person was very good to launch the first business, maybe they are the right person to launch the second business. But they may not be the best person to scale the first business. And I've seen this actually quite a bit, and it's worked really well. When you think about the fact that just mindset, that there is, like, if it is a large growing organization, if it is truly getting from 10 to 1,000, that there's probably a box for this person. So that's one. Second, radical candor and transparency. Letting people know in advance, which comes down to open communication. And if that is the underpinnings of the culture, I think people essentially look for dignity and respect. A lot has been said about whether people work for money, people work for organizations, net-net people work for people. And if you can create that kind of a culture where that caring piece of it is there, I think you will find that organizations will make the transition much better. That said, still a very hard thing to do.
Okay, thanks, Avnish. Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.